If you were going to be going away for a night, how long would it take you to pack? Probably not very long. If you were going to be gone a week or more, would you not start several days in advance? I don't know if you're a person like me, but I have to pack it and then check it and then recheck it and then recheck it once again to be certain that I'm certain that I have everything. Well, as we continue in the book of Hebrews, I asked you 2 weeks ago about the most dangerous situation you have ever found yourself in. The situation the recipients of this letter was in was that they were in danger of not being certain that Jesus was worth it. Again, they were caught in the middle between the Roman world that accused them of being effectively atheists for believing in only one God and the Jewish world that said, you've got to keep the law. And the Jewish world denied that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. The peril, the danger that they were in was in ignoring the word of God that Jesus delivered. And they were in danger of refusing to believe God's word. This morning, that are you certain you are certain you have the promise of eternal life? What are you basing that on? Is it on your performance? Is it that you're comparing yourself to others in that? Or are you certain that you are certain because you're resting on the saving work of Jesus? This morning, I encourage you to be certain you are certain. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read the first 14 verses. Hebrews chapter 4. The writer sums up again. He says, therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David after so long a time, just as he has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fail through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. This morning, are you certain you are certain? Are you certain you are in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you let Jesus take over your life? This is what we are called to do. This is what makes life worth living, to know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. The writer in chapter 3 used the example of the Hebrew people Moses led out of Egypt. But they did not enter the promised land because of unbelief. They got to the edge. They sent 12 men in. And they said, oh no, we can't do it. And Psalm 95 was quoted again in the passage we just read, was used in chapter 3 as an illustration of unbelief. They had seen God work time after time after time. They had seen him part the Red Sea. They had seen the manna. They had eaten the manna. They had known of all this. And they said, no, when they send the 12 spies into the promised land to search it out, oh, they're too big. Oh, we just can't do it. Well, how big was the Red Sea? And somebody says, no, it was just a marsh. Well, the greater miracle there is that the whole Egyptian army drowned in the marsh, if that's what you want to believe. Here he is. God has proven himself time after time and time. And they said, oh, we just don't believe God can do it. Now the Hebrew people reading this letter, and you are in a similar situation. Chapter 4 starts with a word of caution. Be careful while the promise of entering his rest remains that any of you would come short of it. It's not about what we can do, it's about what he has done. For those coming out of the bond of Egypt, this rest was the safety and security of being in the promised land. For all who have heard the good news of the gospel, the promised rest is knowing that you enter into heaven. I don't have to keep trying to be a better person. I just let God change me. And that's what Blake was talking about when he was talking about, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. You know as well as I do, whether you want to admit it or not, that before Christ, you were always worrying if you were good enough. You were always wondering, did you do enough? You say, there are people in my life that I know that have completely turned their back on God, and they don't seem to worry. But what do they do at night? What do they do when the hard times of life hit them? They struggle. They worry. But if you've heard the good news of the gospel, that Jesus came and died to pay the debt of sin, that has been proclaimed, but has it profited you? For the people with Moses, it did not, because faith in what God said did not unite with the promise. The situation for the people hearing this letter is this: has the good news of Jesus and the promise of eternal life been united by faith in their hearts and lives? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that he came and lived a perfect life, if you believe that he died a death in your place to pay a debt that you owed but could not pay, have you given him your life? Have you let him take over? If so, the promise is yours of entering his rest, entering heaven for eternity. Are you in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? The furniture store and appliance store that my parents worked at for years, in which my brother and I both worked at while we were in high school, was started by two men. I don't know how the arrangement was exactly. I just know that one of the two seemed to have the final say about things. And the store did a booming business while that one was in control. But as he got older and his interest in life began to spread out, he pulled away from the store. And he left more and more of the management of things to the other partner and the other partner's son-in-law. Well, it was not long before the store's business began to go downhill, to the point that they closed a long time ago. When the store was under the wrong leadership, things went down. Who is in leadership of your life? Are you certain this morning of your relationship with Jesus? Who is in control of your life? Have you let Jesus take over your life? Do not let sad, even tragic things that happen while you're still in a sinful, fallen world make you doubt or fall away. So many people say, well, if God allows that, let me tell you, you are denying your choices and Adam's choice to go against what God said. It is worth following Jesus. He is worth it. The rest he promises is worth it. And as our world becomes increasingly hostile toward the true followers of Christ, do not doubt that Jesus is worth it. You may face ridicule. You may not be included in the group, or even we may face real persecution. But if we do, Jesus is worth it. This morning, are you certain? Are you certain of your relationship with Jesus as you face the difficulties of living? Are you letting Jesus control your life? This is how we are to live. We are to let him take control of our lives. We are to live in obedience to him and his word today. Remember the second verse of the book. In these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son. Today, if you hear his voice, today is the day you should not harden your heart. We are to take Jesus at his word. He came to seek and to save the lost. We should obey him. Today, stand on the promises in God's word, not to leave you or forsake you. Again, after 40 years and all those who had hardened their hearts toward God and his promises at the edge of the promised land had died, all those people had died, God's promise of rest still stood. Rest does not mean a ceasing of activity, but the peace which comes from open access to God. Now think about that for a minute. Open access to God. The implication is that until the time of the psalmist writing what we know as Psalm 95, that has been quoted here in chapter 3, no one had known of or entered into God's complete rest that Jesus made possible. It is up to the hearers of the good news of the gospel to enter that rest. Be diligent. Be diligent in following Jesus. Disobedience will only lead to hopelessness and death. Let your obedience to God's word give you the assurance in the difficult times of life. What has been the worst day of your life? Think for a moment. What has been the worst day of your life? Absolutely, the worst day of my life was December 19, 1984. 6 days before Christmas, I was fired from my job at Walmart. I went home and literally cried for hours. I felt like I was such a failure. I had failed my wife. I had failed my son. I had failed myself. All I remember my wife saying when I told her was to hug me. She told me she loved me. Let me tell you, if there had been any doubt before, that day cemented for me that I would never give her any reason to doubt my love for her. Do you love Jesus enough to remain faithful to him? Even when life gets difficult, are you living in obedience to him? We are to keep going. If you're living in obedience to Jesus, keep going. Let this morning be a time of cheerleading to encourage you. Keep going. You can do it. Keep following Christ. Keep standing on his promises. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And remember, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Remind yourself that God saved you. He didn't say, you know, if you can earn your way into a right relationship, then maybe I'll consider it. No, he said, I love you enough to have died for you. Preach the gospel to yourself every day because he is for you. He is with you, even or especially in the hard days of life. We get to rest in Jesus. We get to say, you know what? God has got this under control. We have it. We have that possibility. So whatever hurts you the worst, no matter what memory the deceiver brings to your mind, let that drive you back to the cross of Christ. And remember that he is for you. This morning, are you certain? Are you certain enough of your relationship with Jesus to live in obedience forever? Do you respect the power of God's word? This is why you should be certain of your relationship with Jesus. We are to be diligent in obedience to him because the word of God is living, it is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. You say, well, you know, I don't know how sharp a sword is. Then think of a surgeon's scalpel. It's sharper than that. And it's able to cut you coming and going, two-edged. It is that sharp. It is that able to pierce into and able to divide the soul and the spirit of a person. And this possible judgment is more lethal than any sharp sword because it exposes even the intentions of the heart and leaves a person defenseless before the Lord. What God's word says, God will do. No creature, no person is able to hide from him. And remember that Jesus is your high priest. He is before the Father right now on your behalf. He defeated sin, death, and the grave. So hold on to your relationship with Jesus. Hold on to Jesus because he is worth it. This is how my study Bible introduces the book of Deuteronomy. It is the crown jewel of the Pentateuch. It lays before us clearly what God expects from those whom he redeems, a life of uncompromising obedience. Just this week, I read through chapter 8. And in chapter 8, Moses is telling the people to keep obeying the Lord. He then tells them why they went through some of the difficult times. The Lord did it to humble them, to test them, to know what was in their heart, to find out if they would keep his commandments or not. And I would suggest to you that it is not for him to find that out nearly as much as it is for us to find it out. It's easy to say, boy, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian because everything's going good. But what about when the phone rings at 2 in the morning? What about when the doctor says, I'm sorry to tell you, it's cancer? And again, since I personally am about to celebrate my 1-year anniversary of my first and last, I hope, helicopter ride, when you have to text your wife and say, you better come, they're talking Asheville because I'm having a heart attack. It doesn't matter if I have a heart attack or not. God is still good.
Amen. That's right.
And he is worth it, folks. He is worth it. As you go through the difficult times in life, what are you showing the Lord about you? Maybe more importantly, what are you showing you about you? Are you certain of your relationship with Jesus? Are you certain enough to obey him? To obey what he says to you through his word? Let me tell you, something doesn't have to make sense for you to obey it. My dad would tell me a lot of things, and it didn't make sense to me, but I knew better than to disobey it. Well, let me close with this from a devotional I read. When we have done all we can do, God calls us to rest in him. He asks us to lay down our weary souls, to give our challenges into His hands, and to trust that He has not and will not abandon us. The one who gave His own Son for us is on our side. He is for us, even if we cannot see what He is doing and do not sense His presence in the present moment. Where is God calling you to rest and trust Him with your present and your future? Are you certain that you are certain? Have you come up next to Him and taken His yoke upon you to learn of Him? Are you certain that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ because of what He has done? It is not about you. It is not about what you can do. It is about Him. That's what the writer of Hebrews is stressing to us. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you certain that you're certain?